He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama. Smooth drama.
You are on the air with Dick Hugger.
And Bud of the Con.
On Smooth Drama. Trying to read Dick's shirt. What's it say?
It says Yaku.
Are you on there?
Backwards. No, oh. This is an old. Well, I made this shirt. It's an old.
Did you make it wrong?
Article.
Oh.
Yeah, I did it backwards. But
why?
Because I was.
You like looking at it in the mirror?
Yeah, I was tripping. Yeah, if you look at it in the mirror, it says
you
what it says. Well, you hear me, man.
Yeah.
Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Mm-hmm.
As always, we want your calls. You can hit us up 646-929-2037.
Or send an email to smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Yeah, if you're on the site, you'll see that we now have Say Now buttons where you can
Say Now numbers.
Bring us off the call.
Hit us up. Talk to us or leave us a message. And
not during the show.
We'll get back to you.
Eventually.
If you want to talk to us during the show, call 646-929-2037. Anytime on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Standard Time. It's 10 p.m.
What did I say?
Yes.
So that whole hour, you can call us up and talk about anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of fired up right now.
Right.
First, I want to say my heart goes out to the people in Haiti. You know,
it is sad.
I mean, it's some of the saddest shit I've ever seen. You know, you watch these pictures and videos and you know, that's the filter stuff.
Yes.
So you know whatever you see on TV
worse.
Is 100 times worse. You know? And so, in light of that, I mean, it's something that I watched. I had to stop watching the news this morning because of it. You know,
very sad.
You know, it's like, wow. I mean, it's already a poor nation.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're...
Something like this happened.
You know, they're screwed. Basically, what makes it worse?
Yeah.
You get a fucking bastard, hater of the week,
Pat Robertson.
Fuck Pat Robertson. Yes, I'm gonna say it periodically tonight. Fuck Pat Robertson. Yeah. You know, this motherfucker had the nerve to say that Haiti, because of, they said they made a deal with the fucking devil,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they won their freedom from the French.
Right.
And ever since then, bad things have happened to them.
Whatever.
Like, so winning your freedom is a bad thing, really?
Right. So what does he think of France?
Well, obviously he thinks that what was happening was wrong. You know, obviously. But you know what? Fuck you, Pat Robertson. You and everybody who believes in that bullshit you be spouting. And then, you know, for propaganda's sake, I guess he had a black woman on there. That was like sitting there, like, yeah. You know,
what?
Now, you know, I'm.
For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, you can go to our site, smoothdrama.com, and the video has been posted by Mr. Dick Hugger.
Yes, well.
You can view it.
both videos have been posted because, you know, you need to see what this asshole said first to know why I was upset. You know, normally I don't hate fuckers like that any mind because, you know, they're going to say stupid shit from time to time. But the fact that he said this, and this is when these people are going through so much, for him to say it, you know, I'm not feeling it. I am not feeling it at all. And it's just, you know, I don't know. It's just a damn shame.
Wow.
It is just a damn shame.
Wow.
You know, I'm done talking about Pat, you know, because he's stupid. And I'm tired of talking about stupid people. Well, no, I never can get tired of talking about stupid people.
Okay.
But first, we got to talk about, we got guests in there.
Yes, we do. Mr. DJ Trick. We had him on the show earlier last year, and he was talking about some of the things that he had coming up. And I think this evening, he has a couple of announcements. There's a couple of things that are coming up that aspiring artists, if you think you've got talent, should listen to this. We may be coming to a city near you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, your chance for what?
What?
Okay.
I ain't got talent? I blow all y'all away.
Lots of talent.
Don't hate on my talent.
I'm not hating on your talent.
Now, what I gotta ask about, you know, earlier this week, and part of last week, you know, I guess part of this month, it is fucking take your pants off on the trolley / subway.
When was that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been going on. Different cities are having different days.
What was San Diego?
You know, San Diego's, I think, was like either Sunday or Monday. And, you know.
Were there actually people that did it?
Yeah, they said it was like 39 people that did it. You know, they're
newsworthy.
Yeah,
did they
do
it?
I don't know. You know, I mean, because remember, we had the people from GoTopless.org.
They had a cause.
And they had a cause. Their cause was, you know, women can't go topless like men can go topless. And I agree. That's a beautiful, beautiful, you know.
Some people just don't need to go pantless.
Right. But, I mean, go pantless. Why are people going pantless? There's no, what can you call it? There's no cause at all. I'm like, am I missing something? Somebody tell me, am I missing something where a bunch of people just drop their pants? I'm like, we're in California. It's hot. You can just wear shorts. You don't need pants nowhere. It's just stupid. I mean, is this something where the nerds is trying to take back what the so-called cool gangbangers did?
I know.
As you know, the gangbangers, they show their draws in their pants, and I'm thinking the nerds is like, you know what? What's that?
We
gonna show our draws too, but we just gonna drop our pants on the subway.
They didn't have a subway.
Yeah, they wore the trolley.
Oh, that's the equivalent.
Yeah, I guess that's the equivalent of subway, but that's the dumbest shit I've ever heard of, actually. Quite honestly.
39 people didn't think so.
I know, I'm just, what?
Did they get arrested, you know?
No, they didn't say there were any arrests.
Isn't that indecent exposure?
No, I mean, are your boxes really indecent exposure?
Well, I'm running it anyway. I don't know about my boxes, but what about your boxes?
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, just boxes. I mean, technically, you can walk around in boxes.
Yeah,
you're hanging out with them. What can people say? You know, realistically, I mean, I don't know if you could get arrested for
walking around
in your underwear.
Well,
yeah.
Well, hold on. Was it just men that did it? You don't know.
Yeah, they didn't say whether it's all 38 or 39. I'm sure, like, you know, that it is so stupid. I mean, because women, I mean, if women take off their clothes in public, you already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to smack them on the ass or something. It's just something bad waiting to happen.
Hmm.
Every time.
If men do it?
If men do it, most dudes are like, yeah, his ass is crazy.
Cold day.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had this dude, and the picture was, it was the funniest I've seen in a while, where the guy is standing on the phone, and he's like looking at the paper
in his wall?
In his underwear.
In his titties?
Yeah, and then
are
the guy
that post that picture?
I don't know. I don't really want to see no dude in drawers.
You don't have to keep looking at it.
I'm just saying,
for people to see how crazy people are around the country.
Yeah, well, shit, it's here too. Speaking of that, you know, it's a lot of shit going on. You know that we lost a legend.
Teddy Pendergrass.
Man. Not really no more.
Ooh.
59.
He's young.
He died young. He wasn't old or nothing.
Yeah. Wow. What did
that? They said that he had a complication.
Oh, that's right. That's the surgery.
Yeah, and they didn't, and I guess it stemmed from his accident that he had.
Now, he had a car accident?
Yeah, he had a car accident.
And I know he was paralyzed from the neck down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't know it was a car accident.
Yeah, it was a car accident.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know, about 27 years ago, something like that. It's been a while.
Damn.
Yeah, at the height of his career, too.
Really?
Yeah. And so, in today, you know, I don't want to talk about the controversies because, you know, I don't believe in defaming the dead, you know, especially in this time, so. You know, I just say that, you know, it's a shame that he had to die so young.
Yeah, he died young.
You know, it's always a shame when people die young. You know, have a chance. I mean, I guess he did get to live, but, you know, his accident, he was young. You wonder why stuff like that happened, like stuff in Haiti also.
I think there's, you know.
Yeah.
According to, what's his name?
Yeah, Buck Pat Robertson.
Okay, keep on saying.
I'm going to keep saying Buck Pat Robertson.
Right, keep bringing him up.
Now, also, you know, because there's some more, and this one I didn't get a chance to talk about the other day, but I kind of have to talk about now. In Miles City, Montana.
Montana hasn't hit the news in a while.
Yeah.
What's going on in Montana?
A guy went out with his family. What happened is the daughter had a basketball game. And after the game, Richard Pat Rickett, who was 58 years old, offered everybody, you know, that's all him, because I guess at the time, him and his wife are going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
He invited everybody to dinner.
Mm-hmm. Why?
She politely refused. I mean, celebrate the win.
Oh, she politely refused.
Yeah, the wife politely refused.
Mm-hmm.
And no. Well,
no.
The wife,
that should have been it, right?
Hazel Rickett, 47 years old.
That should have been it, right?
Right. That should have been it.
It should have been it.
Well, unfortunately,
we see where this is going.
Rickett told the investigators he went to...
Oh, wait. There's investigators now.
Yes,
okay.
He went to Hazel's apartment.
Oh.
Grabbed a gun out of his vehicle, waited for her to arrive, and after arguing with her, he shot her.
That's why he told the investigators?
Yes. Then he drove off. The authorities found him about 20, 25 miles away from, about, I guess, 25 minutes later. And then he surrendered after a standoff and the negotiation.
Okay. Did you see why he did it? Because she refused dinner?
Yeah, she had filed divorce on his ass in December 30th. So I guess she was like, I'm starting to move off, like, fuck that. Unfortunately, Mr. Ricketts, I don't even know why I'm calling you Mr.
Yeah.
Because you're
this person?
Richard.
Richard?
Yeah, old dick. he was being a dick and not the good dick. He was being the bad dick. And
bad dick?
The bad dick.
Bad dick must be, well, okay, they won't even bring it up.
No, they got
bad, bad dick.
Bad dick.
Yeah.
And he killed him.
Because she refused his dinner.
I think we've talked about this over and over again.
Let it go.
Some folks can't handle rejection.
Love the movement.
Yes. I mean, you know, there's somebody for everybody. And if there's nobody for you, hey, I'm sure there's a doll.
Blow up.
Yeah, there's a blow up doll, a hand instrument, or a vibrate instrument that you can vibe with.
You can vibe with.
I'm just saying. Do you really have to kill somebody because they don't want to be with you? I mean, that's where we're going. You know, it's getting to a ridiculous rate. I mean, it's like stories like these, you know, it's like it's shocking, but it's not fucking shocking.
Right.
We can find a story like this every day. Right.
Whoa.
You know, go to dinner with you, don't want to be with you, you know?
Well, on that note, let's take a station identification break, and then we'll come back and we'll give DJ Trick a call. And we'll discuss what he has to say. Shout it out. So, I'm going back. Okay, DJ Trick. So here we go. Off in here.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Trick.
What's good in the neighborhood?
I don't know. Why are you cold? Where you at?
Let's see. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona at the moment.
I'm thinking you're probably not cold.
What's that?
I'm thinking you're probably not cold.
Nah, well, it gets kind of chilly in the evenings here, believe it or not, right now. It's kind of funny.
I can believe that whole desert effect, whatnot. What's going on with you?
Yeah. Oh, man, just doing it moving on a regular basis.
Hey, moving on a regular basis is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, well, we got a bunch of stuff going on, man. We're keeping busy between the movie project and all the promotional elements that are connected to it and or around it. Us pretty busy.
Well, you got to tell us something, and how can we be done?
Well, most definitely. First and foremost, we're doing the movie Crush Groove 2. We've been into behind the scenes and pulling all that stuff together, getting all the players on the table to make that movie happen. I think it's something that's kind of been overdue. You know, it is what it is. Everything in its respective time, I guess.
Look, I can tell you this. Man. In the dark, I'm the best fucking breakdancer ever.
In the dark.
In the dark. Okay. Well, you know, we got to shine some lights in some directions. And I'm sure we'll have a few dark spots you could probably feel, no problem. But, yeah, it's gonna be a heavy project, man. A lot of very serious players have been coming to the table. I think there's another meeting scheduled for like another 2 weeks from now. I just spoke to Curtis Blow this morning.
Okay.
And, you know, things have been coming together real well. We went out and some of the people in the most recent production meeting ended up hanging out with Mellow Man Ace and Funk Dubious over at the Roxy in L.A.
Their names forever.
Just this past weekend, I guess, it was myself and a group called Woodpile. We came out from Arizona, came into Cali, and hung out with T. Poe. I don't know if you know Terrence Poe. Used to play for the Seahawks, but he's Sebo's partner. You familiar with Sebo? He's an artist from up in the Bay.
No.
Yeah, pretty heavy underground artist. Sold a couple million records. Tupac looked up to this cat, but he had his own label and signed a few artists, but he also did a deal with Young Buck.
Okay.
Maybe a year or two ago, and so they basically we all kind of went out there. I was hanging out with some of the original B boys, a guy named Mr. Animations, like a legend in the game, popping, and Chuko and Mr. Reed. These cats were all in a group called the Air Force Crew out of L.A. They used to tour with Curtis Blow. And, you know, everybody's just really gearing up for the movie. We want to, you know, bring all the elements, you know, the graffiti, the b-boying, and the DJs and the MCs all together in this film and represent hip-hop to the fullest. And at the same time, you know, stay true to the integrity of the original film.
Right.
You know, the other big kicker is that right now Sophia Stewart has been is committed to writing the third installment.
Yeah,
okay.
Sophia.
All right.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if everybody knows who Sophia Stewart is. I know you do.
Yeah, we
interviewed her.
Yeah, we had her on the show.
Okay, that's what's up. How long ago was that?
About a month ago.
About 3.
Oh, okay, excellent. Yeah. So she. I just recently, I just did an interview with her on a different show, I don't know, a couple of weeks back, and it was kind of crazy because, you know, her Oracle element really came into play on the show. We got to experience that real Oracle jumping off because somebody asked a question and she knew who it was asked from. Without knowing who the person was, they never mentioned a name. They asked a couple questions, and she knew who it was and told them who it was they were talking about. And the person was like, "Well, you know, we all witnessed that live, so it was kind of heavy, you know." So she's definitely the real business,
yes.
No doubt about it. But I'm sure you guys knew that.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I was watching a little post today where they were talking about doing something with what they stole from her, Terminator. They're doing something else with it. I'm like, when they gonna stop using this woman shit? I mean,
well, you know, you have you seen Avatar?
Yeah.
No, I avoided it on purpose.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is, again, we're talking about somebody who's involved with the plagiarism of her project, her product. James Cameron is actually listed as like the smoking gun in her case.
Yeah.
From back in the day. So he's, you know, he definitely, I mean, and they know what it is, but it's funny to me because I did look at it just because I couldn't help but see how much stuff he still had stolen or used. And to me, if he's so creative, I would have expected to see something creative in the writing of that script, which really I didn't. I saw The Matrix all over again. I mean, basically, again, it was just the same stuff. Like, you know, the whole Matrix Avatar Second Life character scenario goes right back to The Matrix. You know, them laying down in the little machine to turn into the other character, all that extra stuff, man. Come on, it was already done.
Right.
They just made them look like, you know, the original cat Aborigine Watusi. you know what I'm
saying?
What's
funny about that? When I was reading reviews about it online, they were talking about this is nothing but Fern Gully Part 2, which is a cartoon that was talking about them messing with the environment.
You said Fern Gully?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny. Also, you got to recognize the Pocahontas element in the thing. You know.
Yeah, that's been done before.
The most of the equipment, the high tech machinery that they use for the military in the movie was definitely reminiscent of the original Matrix military scenes. It's just funny to me. It's just too obvious. But you know, it is what it is, and it'll come to fruition how it's supposed to. But you know, I'm sure as you guys do, we got her back. Everybody,
yeah.
Little by little, it's going to become like how do you get around the truth? You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so with all that being said, that project is basically with the meetings that just took place this last weekend, that's really kicked into high gear. And I guess it goes into actual film production in, what is it, June, I think? June or July?
Oh, that's
soon. Okay. So,
you know, yeah.
Where are they filming at?
I don't know all the locations yet, but I know it's going to be all over because it's, you know, it'll be a worldwide, it'll be an international project.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're, they're going to be shooting all over the place. I know, California's got some scenes, I'm sure. New York's got some scenes. There's some scenes out of the country, I think Japan, Germany, Africa, stuff like that. It's going to be pretty intense. But we're doing a walk this summer, a walk for peace. It's the Royal Love Tour. We're doing 100 cities, 10 miles minimum per city. And we're doing a walk to raise awareness for a lot of different elements, but everything connecting to just people being able to live in some sort of harmony.
Right.
We got the love movement going on here.
You know, we've been doing the love movement here forever.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I designed a tour, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, called the Royal Love Tour, and ultimately, you know, we tied them together with this walk. And so we'd love to have you guys involved in any way, shape, or form. I mean, especially, if we can, you know, get people involved. It's a national movement. It actually goes to the United States, Canada, and the Bahamas.
Okay.
So where are they going? Is it going to be like you're going from city to city? I mean, how?
Yes, that's exactly correct. We go from city to city. It starts in June. We're starting in I believe it's Galveston, Texas, because I guess that's where the first Juneteenth ever happened.
Right.
Was Galveston, Texas? So we're starting it on I believe it's Father's Day. June, I don't know if it's the 20th or the 21st, something like that. We're starting it on Father's Day in Galveston, Texas, and it'll run throughout the country, and like I said, Canada and Bahamas through October.
Okay. Well, you know,
we'd
love to get involved.
Yes, we definitely would love to get involved.
Well, I mean, I'd love to keep you guys most definitely in the loop. I mean, it's a ball that's rolling rather rapidly. Actually, there's some meetings that are taking place tomorrow. We're talking to the AMVETS organization about their involvement. You know, and I don't know. A lot of people that do business wouldn't probably be talking about things like this in this particular juncture. But I do business a little differently than a lot of people do. I believe very strongly that this is all, you know, meant to happen. So, we're working with the Post out of Arizona that I've done business with before, and we just got to go through the proper channels. But for the most part, basically what we're doing is we're going to be pulling all the donations together and going from city to city, where the plan is to link with the AmVets and have them have it where the people can pick up their registration forms at any of the AmVets organizations around the country. And we'll be connecting from the AmVets to the homeless shelters and performing at the homeless shelters when we basically end the 10-mile walk in each city.
Okay, so
yeah.
a homeless shelter in every city.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm down with that. I'm in. As a matter of fact, you know, there's an organization here that does the shared food I was talking about the other day that's connected with Project New Village, that they give food to the, they sell food cheaply for people
right.
who can't really afford. Go to projectnewvillage.org. You'll see it. It's on there, the Share Food Network, and you can order your food. And I know it's all over, and they're trying to do it all over. And I think that's probably some people that you can coordinate where we can get some food and donate that at the concert at the same time.
That would be beautiful. I mean, the great thing about it is that we're open to, you know, any kind of ideas or suggestions that are going to enhance, you know, the visibility and or the strength of the event as a whole. You know, and there's a MySpace page, which is Walk for Peace, MySpace.com/Walk for Peace, and it's Walk, the number 4, Peace. You know, and people can connect with us there, anybody's interested, but, you know, just look out for it. I mean, we're going to be doing a lot of advertising all around the country. There'll be ads that'll be going out starting in February, and basically officially the drive kicks in February. So, you know, that's what the whole momentum is. You know, we were talking to Curtis Blow this morning about doing a mixtape because, I guess we're going to be giving some different things to people if they donate, you know what I mean? If they donate X amount of dollars, you know, I believe the figure was if they donate at least $10, we're giving them something, you know what I mean? Like, downloads of music that's connected to the film or whatever, different things like that.
Well, we're good at running our mouth.
I'm sorry?
We're good at running our mouth if we can help advertise.
You're good at what? I didn't hear that.
We're good at running our mouth.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that's a good thing. In this case, anyway, that'll be a beautiful thing. You know, the more the merrier, really. And, you know, we know a lot of celebrities that are going to be getting on board as the days get closer to do the walks. And the way that it works is our organization has two groups committed. The Mixed Math Stars is committed, which is my group, and then the group Woodpile committed to walking the whole way. So that's going to be – we're doing a whole 1,000 miles.
Woo.
So basically, we're all getting in shape and
yeah.
and you know, we're getting in shape by b-boying because we're also promoting another event that's going to be kind of coming to a head at the end of the walk, which is the Universal B-Boy Championship. So we'll be doing in different cities, we'll be doing preliminary or what they call regionals for the Universal B-Boy Championships, which is a competition where the competitor has to compete in all 4 categories.
Well, what's the category?
Of hip-hop.
Yeah, well, what's
so that
the category?
Means the categories are graffiti, dancing, DJing, and MCing.
Oh, shit.
And so basically they compete for the title of Supreme Being.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of intense, but yeah, it's one of those things that's going to have an international appeal because, you know, different countries think they got the best cats, and it's just kind of ridiculous how intense the numbers are with the people that are into it in, like, Germany and Japan and
right.
you know, Australia and Russia, you know, China, everybody. I mean, Korea's gone nuts on the B-boy side.
Well, now I was going to ask this. Now, okay, we're talking about here in the United States, city to city, and then you're going country to country. So, will all those champions gonna square off against each other eventually?
Well, ultimately, this is a national then international competition. So, yeah, they'll ultimately see each other on an international stage.
Mm.
Yes, sir. Most definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, the goal is to be in Africa in 2011.
No.
You know, so that is the plan. We want to take it to Kenya and get down.
Right.
We've been linking up. We actually had an invitation to come to Egypt, which is kind of a trip. Because they were telling us about how the elementary school curriculum teaches about the Black American being the chosen of the real Israelites, I think is what they refer to us as.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm like, man, it's in their elementary school curriculum. That's what's up. You know what I'm saying? Like, really? Can we get some of those books over here?
Yeah, well, you need to send some of them books to Mr. Robinson, Pat Robinson.
Huh?
Did you hear that shit that he said?
Nah, I didn't.
He said that the Haitians, they made a deal with the devil, and that's why they had the earthquakes and whatnot and all the bad stuff that's happened to them.
Wow.
Yeah, when they, he said that because they made the deal with the devil so that they could free themselves from slavery, all this bad stuff has happened to them.
Because freeing themselves from slavery is a bad thing.
Right, right. So that's what well, you know what?
There's only 700 club.
To each his own, man. On the real, like, I know that there's a thing called karma.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe is about positive and negative energy.
But
when you put out negative energy, you got it coming back to you.
Yeah, he's got plenty negative.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same that said that Katrina, that it was because America has abortion.
What? He said that.
He said that.
Yeah. This guy's still around?
Yeah. People believe in this asshole, too.
Yeah. Like Chris says, each his own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, now, I know you're an artist, too, man. So, what you got artistically?
The project is kind of a trip. I mean, I wish I was a little more prepared. I'd have sent you guys over some music, unless y'all knew where it was at already. But I have a group called the Mixmaster Stars, which actually consists of me and two family members.
Okay.
And it's kind of hot. Everyone's feeling it. We've been performing. We actually toured this summer with Curtis Blow. Which went really well all around the country, and so that was a good look. That's really what's been going on with me musically, working with one of the better premier producers on the West Coast, DJ Romeo. I don't know if y'all are familiar with him or not.
Yeah,
he used to do a lot of stuff with Coolio, Tupac. He worked with Lighter Shade of Brown, and I worked with him quite some time ago, but he did some tracks for our project. He's like our main producer for this last particular project. It's called Kingdom Come, and I'm working with MC Screw or Young Screw Hefner and a PhD, and we're the Mixmaster Stars.
Oh, you said his name is Young Screw Hefner?
That's correct. He's a little player.
That's probably where he's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, but you gotta keep in mind he's a San Diego native. You know, he was basically born in San Diego County, born and raised in San Diego County, and so he definitely represents San Diego to the fullest. You know, and the culture of San Diego, if you know what I'm saying. And then PhD, they're both brothers. And PhD is he's more on the what's the word I'm looking for? He's like the mental. What's that?
The smart one.
Well, they're both smart. I don't want to get it twisted. They're both very, very intelligent individuals. But PhD really, if I can put it like, he's kind of like the preacher. You know, he's more on the, he was raised in the church, and you know, but his church was in the hood. So, you know what I'm saying? So he has a different perspective on life that they both can have an agreement on certain things and or have lived in a similar neighborhood, but they were raised in different households. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And it very much reflects their perspectives. And then, of course, my perspective is, I've been in the game for a really long time. I've been down with all the lead players in this industry, really. And now we're ready to take things by the horns, pretty much.
Okay, so where can we find the music?
Y'all can check out the Kingdom Come project on the Mixmasters on MySpace, and it's MIXXX. MASTARZ. I was hoping I was going to be able to send some stuff to you before it got too late, but I was so caught up dealing with the thousand things that they got that's asking me to get done before like yesterday.
Mm-hmm. It's all good. You can
get
to our network, any videos, any music, you add to the network.
You can send them over and we'll do that for you.
Oh, excellent. That's beautiful. I definitely make sure we get that stuff to you. You know, we one of the things that we were just asked to do recently was some club business. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a guy named DJ Rectangle. You ever heard of him?
No.
He's a pretty popular international DJ. This cat was getting like $3,000 a night for like an hour set, and you know, playing in places like Russia. In Japan, China,
only
Taiwan.
Wanted him for an hour? Because I know if he come to my party, he's going to be there all night.
I know, that's right. Well, you know, that's the thing. There's those cats that are getting it like that, and then there's those cats that did so much in the game, you know, like on a real international level that, you know, they get those kind of gigs. You know, somebody, this guy, you know what I mean, they're flying him in from the U.S., for a day, you know what I mean, to do a gig at a club, and they're, you know, and let's say they might have seven other DJs before him, but he's the featured cat because they flew his butt in from the United States, and you know he'll be on the stage at the peak of the night, and he'll play for maybe an hour or two, you know, depending on, you know, what his negotiation is. But I know my guy, he's getting you know, easy 3 G's for an hour. You know, in his heyday for sure. You know, not to say that he doesn't do other things for you know, on some love or whatever. I know that you know, he can do it however he wants to do it, but I know he's gonna get it when he can get it like that. And you know, you heard of him before because I know you guys remember Set It Off, the soundtrack.
Yeah,
he had some work, some product on that soundtrack. You know, he's been around the game for a minute. He actually was the tour DJ for Warren G.
Yeah.
And he's also a San Diego native.
San Diego.
Yep. Cause see, back in the day, I used to have a club in San. Well, I actually, it's kind of a trippy story. I don't know how much time we got on here.
Got time, baby.
Okay, well,
did it.
Back in 88, I think it was. I was signed to MCA Records in 1985, okay? I was the lead vocalist for a group called the Mixmasters. Well, in 88, by 88, and see, Kurt, that's when Curtis and I linked up, and that was like 85, late 85, 86. By the time we did our first single, Kurt heard our first single, basically moved from New York City to Los Angeles, bought Norm Nixon and Debbie Allen's mansion up in Beverly Hills, bought their house, and moved into that, put a studio in there, and basically we started working in his house on our album project, the Mixmasters project. Now, the Mixmasters was basically like the mascot group for the first station in the world playing rap music 24 hours a day, a station called 1580 KDAY out of Los Angeles.
Right.
And so basically, you know, I kind of had two jobs because during the day I would work with the radio station, like it was really with like Greg Mack. You guys heard of Greg Mack before, I know.
Of course.
Yeah,
baby.
Okay, Greg Mack. I know you remember the song by N.W.A. called Radio.
Yep.
I'm on your radio. Bam, bam. Yo, this is Greg Mack, the Mack Attack. You remember that part?
Right.
Okay. Well, Greg Mack was my boss basically, and he was the guy that owned the Mixmasters. So he was also an on-air DJ, as well as the guy that you guys probably know from, like, basically one of the co-founders of Ruthless Records, which was Eazy-E N.W.A.
Right.
So now, basically, Greg was the guy who changed the format at K-Day to a rap format.
You mean music
so basically,
that people actually wanted to hear?
Say that again?
Music that people actually wanted to hear.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, on the real, that's really what it came down to. And the great thing was is that it was in L.A. But, you know, what's kind of ironic is Greg came in from Texas. Greg came out of Houston.
Right.
And, you know, we're talking the Fifth Ward Boys, Ghetto Boys. out of, you know, and that's crazy because, like I said, I got signed to MCA in 85. Greg Mack was the basically the head of our group. You guys heard of Jerry Heller before, right?
Of course.
Okay, well, Jerry
had a lot of nice things to say about him.
You said who had a lot of nice things to say?
Ice Cube had a lot of nice things to say about him in the
day. Okay. Okay, well, Ice Cube and, well, Dre probably had at one point, but
yeah,
what's ironic?
I see the same body too.
But see, he used to be my manager before he managed any of them cats. Okay, he was managing the Mixmasters, and basically, we came before them. So you know, he was kind of cutting it. They were kind of cutting their teeth in hip hop with us. And at the same time, they were handling. I believe they were handling the Dream Team. The L.A. Dream Team.
Yes, I personally meet him.
And, rest in peace, Rudy Pardee, because I believe he passed away some years back from the Dream Team. Mm. So basically, I got signed to MCA through that whole setup, and it's because we competed in a contest called the Best Rapper in the West contest. And this was in 1985. Sugar Hill Records was the label that was the sponsoring label of this contest. And I believe there was over 400 contestants. I might be mistaken. I think it was 900 contestants actually throughout California that competed. And basically, we were down to the last 13, and we were, you know, a group out of Oceanside, California that was basically went up into L.A. and really did work. And, you know, we were really different than pretty much everybody else. And, you know, we had style that they hadn't seen anything similar to what we were doing. And then I had a female partner that I had trained for rapping and another partner of mine that was a DJ named DJ Mix and Magic out of Chicago. But basically, we had a group where we were based out of Oceanside, and we were called Magic Trick Productions. And that's how basically Greg Mack saw me for the first time, or saw us, and basically wanted me to become the vocalist in the Mixmasters. So I basically told him I didn't want to leave my group, that I had a group, so that, you know, if he wanted me, he was going to have to take everybody in the group. And my guy, Mixie Magic, was like, man, are you stupid? Like, you better get your ass over there and get it popping, and then just, you know, bring us in the door after you get in there good.
Right. Now,
and so I'm saying, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Now, I was going to say now, I mean, you said, so did, when all this happened, did Jerry Heller drop y'all? I mean, how did that go?
Well, no, Jerry, basically, we actually rode through the project pretty good. Jerry Heller was a good manager. He ain't never dropped us. It basically, what happened with us was the female, and it's kind of heavy because I'm gonna connect some dots that are gonna burn your face a little bit. The female in our group, her name was Rose. She went to Oceanside High School, same class, I believe, as Junior Seau. And I taught her how to rap. I took about 3 years of training, and ultimately she was the female partner, and we had a duet. This is before Ice Cube and Yo-Yo. Okay, so now basically we had a situation where I don't think this has ever been told in any kind of public setting.
Tell it.
Basically, we to put it mildly, we were fucking at one point. So,
okay,
so the excuse me,
fucking happens.
Yes, it does, man. And if you've seen this female, man, up close for real, like I'm talking about, the body was just too ripe at the time, and you know, I just had to handle business. It was just kind of hard to not do. And well, the long and short of it is, once we were together, and you know, and the bottom line is that she was a beautiful girl. She, you know, she was a sweetheart, and you know, we got together. So ultimately, her mother was basically insisting that we got married.
Oh.
And that was just not the business at the time. Like, I was just not ready for that. So I guess I just really didn't walk really well in that direction. And so they just got pissed off. And ultimately they decided that how they would get back at me was she would quit the group the day before we shot the album cover.
Okay, so when she...
Now, kid game, and it gets deeper. Then, this is so crazy now, during the time we were going through all this drama, it was like, we're making the album, understand? That Kurt's producing the album, yeah, while we're going through all this extra, like, garbage. We're in the studio, man. There's a song on the album called Don't You Want to Be Loved, and it's, we're talking about the era where LL came out with I Need Love. Well, if you hear I Need Love and then if you hear our track Don't You Want to Be Loved, you'll see that there's a drastic quality difference in what we did and what he did ultimately. But and then you get to know the understanding of the big story, the big picture that connects to Crush Groove. So ultimately, we're fighting each other. Like, we're not cool with each other, so we're not cool in each other's presence. There's a lot of, like, arguing and stuff going on. And we're writing a song that's called Don't You Want to Be Loved.
Yeah, that that wouldn't have worked. But
oh, my God. But check it out. The song came out kind of hot because – I mean, it was fire. That, like, it was real. Like, there was, like, basically her character, she's basically saying, you know, you just want to hit it. No, she's saying, well, don't you want to just settle down and be with the woman, and you just, don't you want to have someone love you for you and be with you forever? And I'm saying, you know, that's all good, but right now I'm not really trying to settle down. I'm really just trying to experience life and, you know, go forward and see what's out there in the world for me. You know, that's basically the two characters in the song.
Isn't this just, look, she should have known you DJ Trick.
Man. Well, you know what, on the real, D, DJ Trick and or Trick is kind of a trip because my name really came from me being able to do tricks on the turntables. You know what I'm saying? Like actually cutting and scratching and doing all kind of crazy stuff on the wheels. And
yeah.
Ironically, what's that? What's that? What is you? I know she just that chimed in on me. Say, what?
Like, yeah, it's not DJ Trick because I'm chicken. I got
yeah.
Yeah, well,
on the turntable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real talk, though. But see, that and what's interesting, see, I've gone through these different transitions. That was DJ Trick that started out cutting and scratching back in the day. Then, ironically, you know, I went from that to MCing because I linked up with my man Magic. Basically, we were like the top two DJs in North County, and then we started doing shows in San Diego and really started kind of terrorizing that whole county. And we had a production company together, Magic Trick Productions, but then it got to the point where we started getting challenged to do battles. And when it started going in that direction, ultimately I started MCing because somebody had to chop them up vocally while we chopped them up on the turntables. And when we were coming up in our day, it was like, you know, if you wanted to battle us, you had to put something up because we had a reputation. So, you know, we would battle people for gear. Like, yo, you talking mess? Yo, bring it to the table. Bring your speakers and your system because once we get done beating you up, we don't want to hear about you no more. Straight up. And if you can bring it to the table and you beat us, then you take our stuff and we'll call it a day because we're not playing games with this. And we weren't walking around challenging people either.
Well, you can't do that now. Somebody, you can real quick.
Yeah, well, you know, the things have progressed to a whole nother, and I don't even want to say progress because I don't know if that's what it is. Gotten to a point where, you know, and you got to understand, when I say I was with K-Day, man, you got to understand the nature of what we're talking about is, you know, I'm talking about I was doing 3,000 Crips on Friday, 3,000 Bloods on Saturday, 3,000 Latinos on Sunday.
Yeah, I wouldn't
3,000
your show.
What's that? Say that again?
None of your shows.
Hey, you know what? You might be right, and I'll be telling you right now, you know, it ain't like my sister and nobody was hanging out at none of my shows either. I can tell you like that. I mean, you know, I'm just keeping it real. I mean, when I would go to these shows, understand we're talking about a place like World on Wheels. When we would come out of the club, the helicopters would be right on top, you know. And 9 times out of 10, there was about 30 cats up against the wall. Police had them up against the wall. It was just a normal, regular Friday night at World on Wheels. Now, keep in mind, we had 3,000 people in the club partying all night, you know, and the Mixmasters were rocking the spot. And the thing is it was live on the air. It was Friday Night Live. So it was on the air on the radio station. So people at home were listening to it live at the club. And 9 times out of 10, there was some headliner on the ticket.
All right.
I mean, Bobby Brown played at this place. I saw Bobby Brown come in, you know, and I don't have nothing bad to say about Bobby. I'm just being real with it. I mean, he came in. I think he was so high he couldn't sing good because, you know, cocaine gets to your vocal cords.
Yeah, but he did that at my grad night.
Wow. Where was your grad night?
Oh, it was at Disneyland.
Oh, at Disneyland. Okay, he came on stage and couldn't sing because his cocaine had him wrapped up?
I couldn't hear a damn word he said. He was tripping. So,
wow.
So we was like, okay, Bobby Brown is tripping. We're going to go ride a ride now.
Wow.
Wow. Something.
We want
something just
have to come and know the show.
We're running out of time.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, I don't know if I was tripping or what.
Nah. our time has come and gone.
I will check us out. Don't forget to check us out. MySpace, MixmasterStars, MIXXX.
Definitely.
MASTARZ. You know what I'm saying? And definitely keep up with us on the Walk for Peace this summer.
That info.
Going
yeah.
down.
Down.
Yeah, that's also MySpace. Walk for Peace. Walk, the number 4. Peace, y'all.
All right.
All right. Cool. Thank you, Trick.
Nah, no worries. Anytime, people.
All right. Man.
Good night.
Peace out.
One love.
All right. That was DJ Trick. And that is the end of our night tonight.
Yeah, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you at same time, same place next week on Smooth Drama.
And fuck Pat Robertson.
Good night.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you've got smooth drama.